Some stations on shortwave sound like they've been around since the dinosaur era, presenting stories the way they did in the 160s, 70s, and 80,000 years ago. Snap out of your Mesozoic mood and switch to Radio Netherlands, contemporary continental radio from the heart of Northwest Europe.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online, just about to push the button on another program from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
And now, let us test your language skills.
Pretty easy, wasn't it? She said, this is Radio Netherlands, the Dutch International Service. Our communications magazine with Diana Janssen and me, Jonathan Marks, now follows on this frequency. But first, we spin the dial back in time.
Hello, and guess who they're putting out to sea in 23 days from now?
Oh, we're hoping to have... Well, we do have people like Mark Roman coming back. We've got Keith Skews. We've got Ian Damon, Tony Brandon. And I'm hoping that by the end of the 28 days, we'll have about a dozen of the original names back working with us. Radio London.
No, they're not going to be working with Radio Netherlands, but for a special offshore radio project. Details in the next half an hour, so stay with us.
Yes, welcome to the last media network of June. We're 26 programmes into 1997 and still going strong. Meanwhile, in Hong Kong, British Forces Broadcasting Service is still going strong, but only for a few more days.
Serving the British Forces in Hong Kong, this is BFBS.
You may recall in November last year, we did a series of special programmes from Hong Kong, previewing the transfer of power from Britain to China. That will happen next Monday night at midnight local time. And with 8,000 foreign journalists currently in the British colony, it's going to be difficult to avoid coverage on many stations around the world. Radio Netherlands' Newsline programme will be no exception. In fact, we're building satellite links at this very moment.
When we examined the local broadcasting scene in Hong Kong back in November, BBC World Service had started to dismantle its shortwave relay station, and that's now been completed. And then there was Forces Radio. British Forces Broadcasting Service had grand plans about its final days of broadcasting in Hong Kong. Rory Higgins, station manager of BFBS Hong Kong, told us then they hoped to sail out of Hong Kong Harbour broadcasting as they went.
Well, he joins us on the line from Hong Kong. Rory, your picture is on our website right now, sitting in the studio in the Prince of Wales building, and that's very close to the waterfront with a beautiful view towards Kowloon. What's changed since the picture was taken in November and you closed the Nepali service, just keeping English on the air?
Well, a lot more people have left. When we spoke last, as you say, the Nepali service had finished, and the Gurkha troops now have left Hong Kong. They've been here for a long time, so that was a sort of sad departure. Then, in terms of the audience, in March, at the end of March, the families left. So for the remaining British soldiers, their wives and children went back to UK or to their next posting, be it in mainland Europe or elsewhere. So, you know, we, in terms of the radio, we not only lost a large chunk of the audience, but, you know, the audience profile changed.
So how many of the British forces are left? Aren't we talking around about 1,000?
Yeah, we've got about 1,000 now, but what's happening, because we really are moving towards the final days, the people that have been here for a long time have moved off. I mean, even a lot of the sort of headquarters officers have moved back to the UK, and coming out now are ceremonial troops who will be involved with the handover ceremonies and, you know, movement staff, Royal Navy ships. Just outside the Prince of Wales barracks where we're based, there's now a fairly large Navy ship berthed alongside, which will act as the sort of headquarters British forces, because we're pulling out, the garrison are moving out of buildings so that those buildings can be handed over to the incoming garrison from the People's Liberation Army. And we're sort of moving towards the water. Now, I say we, the garrison, are doing that. We still, the radio station, will be doing something similar.
When will that happen?
Well, the container, which we call the Love Shack, is going to be moved on to the one of the Navy ships on the 29th of June. So we will effectively lose our studio on the 29th of June. So what we've done is we've recorded a number of our programs ahead of time, and all of the live broadcasting on the last day will be done out in the open on the sixth floor of the headquarters building, overlooking the large parade square area where the farewell ceremony will take place. So that there'll be a large military parade and sort of civilian pageant about 6 o'clock Hong Kong time, and we'll be sort of doing live coverage of that event and also the events leading up to it. And then at about 8 o'clock local time, BFBS Hong Kong will go off the air for the final time. We won't be able to remain on air till midnight. It's just impossible for us to do that, and we'll say goodbye to everybody, unplug our radio equipment, unplug the transmitter, and actually carry that onto the ferries and disappear across to the airport.
So you sign off and fly home?
Well, yeah, we fly out immediately after the handover ceremony. I mean, I personally will be going to the handover ceremony at midnight, and you know, I'll be filing reports for the BFBS network around the world. And then at midnight 30, all British garrison people will be, you know, disappearing and heading off towards the airport. The dignitaries, of course, will be leaving by sea. Prince Charles is representing the Queen at the handover ceremony, and he will be leaving on the Royal Yacht Britannia, the last voyage of the Royal Yacht, of course, with the Governor Chris Patten. And the Commander British Forces here will be leaving on HMS Chatham. So just past midnight, there will be, you know, a sort of grand exit on the ship for the dignitaries, and the backroom boys, the radio boys, and the ceremonial troops will be heading off on by ferry across to the airfield, to Kai Tak International Airport, and then we'll be taking off about 2 o'clock in the morning and heading back to the UK.
So there's nobody left behind?
No, there's not even any records left behind. We'll just be, I hope, you know, a good memory for the people of Hong Kong. We've also had quite a lot of reaction now. The local media are responding to, it's mainly expats, British and American and Australian expats, actually saying, help, what's happening? You know, the BFBS is disappearing. We've had a campaign running in the local press, which has been picked up by the UK press as well. Some British people here are desperate for some radio station in Hong Kong to take on a radio drama series that we put out in the evening called The Archers. It's quite well known in the UK, a BBC production. And so there's a campaign starting for that. And actually, listeners are lobbying other radio stations to do the sorts of things that BFBS have been doing for years. So, you know, we're feeling quite good, actually.
Well, at the moment, the government-operated Radio Television Hong Kong runs a 24-hour relay of BBC World Service on medium wave, as well as using a lot of BBC material. We're interested to see how and if that will change as from next week. But, Rory, from what you've told us, your rather romantic plans to broadcast from one of the British ships as they left Hong Kong for the last time, that isn't going ahead, is it?
Yeah, it's not going ahead because the Navy ship that we have been, you know, allocated to will be out of the harbour at some point. So we took the hard decision. The romantic one was to be on the ship. The fact is that those ships will be moving around the harbour, and it would mean that at some stages we wouldn't be serving the audience that we're here to serve. You know, we would be disappearing around the corner as the ships move around doing different jobs. And so it wasn't possible for us to do. That was a blow for us because we were very much looking forward to being on the waves and really departing with the ships as they left the harbour.
All around the world.
BFBS. 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 BFBS.
1997.
The FBS Hong Kong will close down four hours before the handover, and there'll be empty airspace for that time. I don't think anyone's going to leap in, though.
But likewise, most of the audience, I guess, that you're targeting will be actually out on parade or getting ready for it.
Yeah, that's true. Most of the audience will be on parade, but the program will be networked. There's a lot of interest in Hong Kong amongst British people, particularly British service people around the world. So our final outside broadcast will be networked to BFBS in Europe, in Germany, in Bosnia, in Belize, in the Falkland Islands. And a lot of people have served here over the years, different regiments, members of all three services. And all three services will be represented on this final parade. So people will be interested to find out what's going on.
Well, final question from us. What sort of memory of BFBS will you take with you when you get on that plane?
It's going to be so busy. It has been so busy over the last couple of weeks. I will personally feel a little bit sad. I've been associated with Hong Kong on and off for about 12 years now, and it's a wonderfully exciting and cosmopolitan city. And so, you know, I will miss the opportunity as a member of BFBS to broadcast here. One of the memories that I'm going to take, just recent memories, is the amount of media interest that there's been, and a significant proportion of those have knocked on the door of the British services, and quite a few have come to BFBS. So yeah, it's been interesting to meet colleagues from all over the world, Japanese newspapers, Koreans, Canadians, and so on. And that will be something that I'll take away, looking at a camera lens and staring at a microphone in a slightly different way.
This is Forces Radio.
This is BFBS.
Rory Higgins of BFBS Hong Kong, a station which will fade away into the history books. In a forthcoming media network, we'll be looking at the Chinese domestic media and asking just how far they want to imitate radio stations in the West.
Yep, it's a fascinating part of the world. Well, BFBS Hong Kong may not be able to recreate the feeling of offshore radio, but between July the 18th and August the 14th of this year, another group in the UK is trying to do just that. You may recall that a Dutch radio entrepreneur tried to recreate the feeling of Radio London by starting a satellite radio station of the same name from a disused railway carriage park at a station in the east of the Netherlands.
Well, that project brought in a lot of enthusiastic letters a few years ago, but the response wasn't sustained enough for the operation to remain solvent, at least under the name Radio London. As from next month, though, there'll be another Radio London operating on 1134 kilohertz, or 266 metres if you're a wavelength nostalgist. British authorities often grant what they call restricted service licences for special events.
And in this case, you could argue that broadcasting from a ship moored off Frinton-on-Sea in East England is quite unique. It turns out this location is quite close to the original anchorage of the ship, Radio London. A studio will be built on board and a transmitter installed as well. Event organiser Ray Anderson of East Anglian Productions says it's a short injection of nostalgia connected to an anniversary.
Yes, it is. It's a 28-day licence, which we're going to use a 1-watt transmitter from a ship to recreate the sound of Radio London.
A 1-watt transmitter?
Yes, if there's such a thing.
How far can you go with 1 watt?
Not very far, we're hoping to get a signal out about 20 or 30 miles. That's all we're allowed, unfortunately, under the restrictions. But we are getting a lot of interest, a lot of people coming down, and a lot of the old disc jockeys are making their way down to take part in remembering the great sound of Radio London from the 1960s.
How far is the ship offshore?
Well, we're going to put it about less than a mile offshore. Hopefully it'll be well within the sight of the day trippers and the holiday makers here. And also we'll be arranging boat trips out as well so you can go on board.
So you're obviously not putting the money in electricity to keep the transmitter running.
That's very true. It's a bit of a scandal, really, when you consider that the original Radio London was on 50,000 watts and we'll be on just one.
The London Sound! Wonderful! Music means B-I-G-L. And a very good morning to you at last, everyone. How are you? Welcome to the TW Show. Yes, this is Chris Turning with you, and there you heard the number three sound on the Big L Fab 40 this week. I saw her again by the Bummers and the Puppers. Thank you very much, Mark Roman, for the weather forecast and for a great breakfast show right through from 5:30 until 9 o'clock.
Radio London was certainly instrumental in giving many of the top groups of the day airplay. Original commercials for products will be broadcast next month, and the playlist of songs will be from the last few weeks of Radio London's Fab 40. But, Ray, you must be hoping it's more than just radio nostalgia that will bring people thousands of kilometres to Frinton-on-Sea. So, what's the attraction?
I don't know, but I think really Radio London was a very special station. I mean, it had an enormous audience, probably one of the largest audiences for any commercial radio station in the world. Plus, it was at a time when the 60s, I think, were really booming. We'd had Carnaby Street and the fashion in London. The music business was taking off in an enormous way. The Beatles were there. And I think Radio London, you know, happened at the right time in the 60s. And I think a lot of people that are now in their 40s and 50s have got some very nice memories of the 60s, and particularly of Radio London.
It used to be that a radio station wasn't a radio station unless it had a coffee mug. Nowadays, a radio station isn't a radio station unless it has an internet website. Well, there are details of this event on a website at this URL, www.channel9, that's all one word, .demon.co.uk/Radio London, all one word, /rlnew.htm. Quite a mouthful, but there it is. The project's costing around £35,000 and is being underwritten by Ray Anderson's East Anglian Productions. I presume, Ray, that the starting date of the 18th of July is rather less significant than the last day of broadcasting, namely August the 14th.
Yes, well, we're signing off to coincide with the 30th anniversary of the original close down, which was, of course, a very sad day, and we'll be recreating that day with a lot of the old tapes, air checks and memories.
East Anglian Productions is quite famous for its productions about offshore radio. I mean, is this going to be a bit of a commercial cash cow as well?
Well, I don't think it's going to make us any money, but I think having we're actually 30 years old. The company's been trading 30 years next year, so I'm looking at this as maybe a little bit of a swan song. Don't take me literally there, but I think it's a nice little touch to all the stuff that we've been doing over the past years. We've had some wonderful customers. A lot of our customers I've never met, and I think this is a great opportunity for them to come down and have a look and personally thank them for being customers of our company for the last 30 years.
And what does the company do?
Well, we do have, as you said, a fairly good name. We've made a lot of products in the offshore radio field. But aside from that, we do make TV programs, radio commercials, radio programs, and a whole host of audiovisual products.
Finally, Ray, the website talks about plans to use a Trinity House lightship for the project, but apparently that's now changed.
Well, actually, in actual fact, we're not using the lightship now. The lightship that we originally were going to use, we discovered a few weeks ago, we can't get it out from the harbour because the river that it needs to pass is a bit silted up. So we have got four other ships in mind, and we're going to probably be using a minesweeper, which is quite fitting because the original Radio London ship was an American minesweeper. So there should be quite a bit of nostalgia there.
Call and talk. Radio Netherlands Answer Line is open 24 hours a day for comments and questions about any of our English language programs. Now, let's check out the current crop of calls.
So who's first?
Hello, Diana. This is John Stanion calling you from Birmingham in England. I'd just like to comment that I think it would be a bit of a pity if we lost your dedicated subcarriers on Astra. Just listening to WRN might mean missing some of your programmes because, of course, they only have 1 hour of your 2 hour slot at a time. At the moment, I'm able to take advantage of the fact that I've got several different times of the day to listen to your programmes in good quality.
Hello, my name is Gerald Gray from Sevenoaks, Kent, England. And I'm very disappointed to hear on your media network programme tonight that you are intending to drop the Astra 1D transmissions. I think this is very disappointing because the quality is far better than on Radio Luxembourg. And I think in general we should have more services on satellite in analogue rather than fewer. We ought really to have satellite radio being promoted because it's a really good way to have better European knowledge and understanding. So many people have satellite now and it's so easy to receive the analogue sub-carriers. I really think all international broadcasters should be there, so you should be having more services rather than fewer. Please reconsider your decision. Thank you very much.
Hello, this is Steve Comer from Bridgewater in England. Replying to the comment on Media Network about the subcarriers on Astra, please don't go digital. I find these very useful as I can get guaranteed good quality reception of your output at all times that you're broadcasting, whereas on shortwave the reception comes and goes and I've got to search in your guide for a frequency. So please don't make these digital, even if the summer TV is digital.
Hello, it's Philip England here, calling from Llanelli in South Wales. Regarding Radio Netherlands on Astra, I like it. I enjoy listening to it on Astra 1D, and I would listen to it through the World Radio Network, but it's on at times inconvenient to me. So please keep Radio Netherlands on Astra 1D. You've lost enough Dutch things already. Please don't let us lose you as well.
Well, thank you for calling Hilversum 6724 222 with those reactions. Those calls are typical of a small flood of calls and letters in reaction to our comment in Media Network of a few weeks ago. Analog sub-carriers are extremely expensive compared to the digital equivalent. Although we're continuing with distribution via the World Radio Network, keeping our own analog sub-carriers on the Astra satellite system alongside digital radio and TV distribution, which starts on July the 1st, well, that's stretching our budget very near the limit. So if you're listening via our analogue subcarriers right at this very moment and you haven't reacted in favour of keeping them, please do let us know immediately. The volume of response is crucial to our ultimate decision. Now, who's next?
This is Alistair Borden calling from Eastbourne on the south coast of England. I'd like to know if there's any more news on Delta, the long-way station coming from Holland, please. Thank you.
Well, to answer your question, we called Menno Hidajatula, who's a spokesperson for Delta 171. Back at the end of April, Telefunken Zendertechniek, and that's a wholly owned subsidiary of Continental Electronics Corporation of Dallas, Texas, said they'd signed a turnkey contract to provide a new 2-megawatt longwave AM broadcasting station for Delta 171.
Two 1-megawatt transmitters are to be coupled together and connected to a 4-mast directional antenna beamed primarily at the UK. The transmitter site is listed at a place called Kootwijk, a town in the eastern part of the Netherlands, not far from Apeldoorn. We asked Menno if that's still going ahead.
Well, we finalised the contracts. Yes, that's true. Yes. All is subject to building applications and so on.
Delta 171 has received some local opposition to the original scheme, even though the site already has antennas on it belonging to the maritime facility Scheveningen Radio. But it hasn't stopped them.
Well, there are still some hurdles to take. We had to come up with a different concept that was made by our architect initially.
2 weeks ago, Delta Radio submitted a new proposal, which would mean the antenna masts would be less obtrusive in the area, which in fact is a nature reserve. They've also been thinking about the programming format and appointing consultants in the UK.
That's true. That didn't happen recently, but over the last couple of months there have been a lot of talks for these kind of positions. Yes, that's true. Well, we're not aiming at the UK only. I mean, it's of course, this is a very important market in Europe. And because of the language, because we've chosen to broadcast our programs in English, that will be one of our main markets, of course. Yes, that's true.
The rest of the story is rather vague at the moment, including where they're going to put studios. The Dutch capital is being considered.
We have been looking into Amsterdam. Our offices are now in Amsterdam, and that might be a very good option.
A decision on whether planning permission will be granted for the transmitter site is expected in a few days' time. Other procedures still have to be followed so that by the end of the summer it will be clear how the project will progress. In the meantime, Delta 171 is operating a toll-free telephone number in the Netherlands, 0800 8171. And if you live abroad, you could try 31800 8171, but our experience says that it doesn't often work outside the country. You can also use traditional snail mail, and the address is Delta 171, P.O. Box 75065, postal code 1070AB, Alpha Bravo, in Amsterdam, the Netherlands.
We started the programme talking about a close down in Hong Kong on June the 30th. The way it looks now, another station in northern Australia will close down on Monday.
The Radio Australia transmitting station in Darwin, which was recently upgraded to offer six 250-kilowatt transmitters for overseas broadcasting, has been in the Australian domestic news.
We put it to Terry Brown, acting network manager for Radio Australia, that there has been talk of a last-minute reprieve.
Well, they're our main vocal cords, at last report from the National Transmission Agency, which runs these transmitters on behalf of the government. They are closing down to be mothballed from Monday next at 8:30 in the evening.
Radio Australia has two other transmitter sites at Brandon and Shepparton, but over the years these have been modified to complement the facilities at Darwin. Antennas at Shepparton for targets west of the Philippines were taken down.
Well, in the 60s, of course, this is where it all started. Our transmissions to Asia and elsewhere came out of Shepparton. And even way back then, those transmitters were beginning to lose their punch, if you like, against the more powerful competition that was coming in from various parts of the world. So it was decided to establish the Darwin transmission base from a much closer point to Asia and with much more powerful and more modern transmitters. But since then, the Shepparton transmitters have been realigned to point out to the Pacific and to cover Papua New Guinea. That's where the problem lies. We don't really have a direction from those Shepparton transmitters that are meant to cover Asia. So the signal that we'd get out from Shepparton would actually not penetrate much further west than a line through the middle of Indonesia, through the Philippines and up to China.
This week, the chairman of the ABC has sent a letter to the Australian Minister for Communications, Senator Alston, asking him to reconsider the closure.
Also on Monday, Radio Australia will cut back its output in several languages. Indonesian, for instance, dropping back to 2.5 hours a day instead of 5. More than half of the staff have lost their jobs, and the fate of the external TV service will be decided next month.
The ATV, the Australia TV television service, is to be sold off. Privatised, if you like, on the instructions of the government, and we expect an announcement on that in about 2 weeks' time.
Well, it's a shame that earlier this year a very vocal response from the audience to Leave Well Alone apparently fell on deaf ears in the Australian government. There's another Nigerian clandestine around. This one's calling itself Radio Nadeko. It's planning to make its maiden broadcast on Monday, June the 30th, towards West Africa. The organisers have announced a channel of 5070 kHz, the time at 05 hours UTC, Monday through Friday.
As of July the 1st, Radio Netherlands' summer television project returns in Europe. This time we're available in both analogue and digital. The digital service runs from 17 to 22 hours UTC daily on Astra Channel 102. The service is free to air, so you don't need a smart card. And for those of you still using analog sets, we're also on the air from 19 to 22 hours UTC on Astra Transponder 58.
Well, that's it for now. Join us next week when we're in a vintage radio mood. And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.